Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about books we would like to recommend.
And with the holiday season approaching, we figured this would make the perfect time to talk about a few books that would make excellent gifts, and maybe some books that would make some not-so-great gifts for the loved ones in your lives. So with us today, we have Lisa, and we have Carrie, and we have Jamie, and they are each bringing different types of books they wanted to talk about. We wanted to start with Lisa, who has a sports title.
Yes, I do. Hello, everyone.
Who is your favorite sports team?
Of course, the Houston Astros.
Okay.
Any team in Houston is my favorite.
I thought you were about to challenge everybody. Anyone who says anything different can come fight Lisa.
They know where to find me. So the book I chose was Hurricane Season, The Unforgettable Story of the 2017 Houston Astros and the Resilience of a City by Joe Hawley. This story is not just about the amazing Houston Astros, but it was about the devastation of Hurricane Harvey and what the people of the greater Houston area went through, and actually what the Astros went through. Because at the time when Hurricane Harvey was hitting, the Astros were actually in California. They were playing the Angels. So they were just as devastated as we were, because they can only see what was happening on the news. They couldn't come home. There was no way for them to come home. Mm-hmm. So when Hurricane Harvey hit, watching the news, you see all these people helping, getting in their boats, their big trucks. Everybody was helping here. So the Astros decided they were going to adopt a slogan, Houston Strong, because they were looking at the news and seeing all these people helping. And I remember A.J. Hinch, who's the coach, was crying on TV because he heard that his neighbors saved a baby from the floodwaters. And wow, he wanted to be there. All these players wanted to be here with their families, because who doesn't? Finally, they got to leave California, and they were heading for a series in Arlington against the Texas Rangers. Well, they couldn't come home. They had to be shipped off over there because there was no way for them to get here. So Astros asked the Rangers, hey, you know, let's switch series, home series. We play it, you know, over there, and then in September you play here. Well, the Rangers said no.
They didn't want to do that. Of course they did.
Yeah, seriously, they said no.
Yeah, they're like, you're off your game. We'll
exactly,
win this time.
Exactly. Hmm. Their record wasn't that good. Yeah. So, I mean, come on. So people were hating on them on social media.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, and then as a Houstonian, I am from Houston. So as a Houstonian, I was like, oh, I really don't like them. They had to go to, I think it was Florida, for a 6-game stretch, away from 1,000 miles away from their families, when they could have been here close. So they had to play 3 games against the Rangers, and I believe 3 games against the Mets up there. So finally, when they came home, it was just like, they didn't know if their houses were here. The whole time, they were just devastated. Their families were here, not just the families, but all of us. Yeah. So anyways, once they start coming home, they realize, okay, we got to do something. What can we do for Houston or the greater Houston area? So, of course, hey, win games. That's what we need. Houston needs something. You know, we went to the World Series 2005 and got swept. That was heartbreaking. You know, I've been waiting for a World Series my whole life. I was an Astros buddy in the 80s. So this book, I mean, it touches home because it takes you back not only to the hurricane, but all the stages of getting to the World Series. I recommend this book to any sports fan, because it was just an amazing time, not only for the city of Houston and surrounding areas, but just for Astros fans everywhere.
Yeah.
So it was an amazing book.
Next up, we have Carrie. And Carrie is a librarian after my own heart, because she brought graphic novels. Tell us a little bit about your recommendation.
My general recommendation is an adaptation of Jane Eyre called Jane by Aline Brosh McKenna. Aline Brosh McKenna is of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend fame, TV show, wonderful TV show about musicals. And the adaptation is just kind of like a light, I don't want to say fluffy, but it's a good read. It's a good quick read that is perhaps not the most faithful to all of the different parts of Jane Eyre, but the best parts, which to me are the romance between Rochester and Jane.
Yeah, that's the only reason to read that book.
That's really the only reason to read Jane Eyre, if you ask me. Like, who cares about the blindness and the boarding school and the mean aunts part, you know.
Somebody locked up in his attic.
Yeah, so...
You're conveniently not mentioning that part.
Well, yeah, so instead of Rochester's wife being insane from syphilis in the attic, she's in a coma in the attic.
That's better.
That doesn't really make it much better, you know.
Is she hooked up to medical equipment?
She is. Oh. No, she is
just,
indeed.
Just thrown on the twin bed up there.
And so I just really liked this book. I liked the art. It's very wistful and romantic. I also really liked the lettering and the way they distinguish the lettering for the narration from the dialogue lettering, because it really puts you in the state of mind of... What's the opening line from Jane Eyre? Someone quote it. Librarians.
Oh, she stumped us.
Oh, no.
Yep, it's been a while.
It's something about, like, I love walks on a cold day or something like that. I can't remember.
As long as it's not, she loves pina coladas.
and getting caught in the rain.
And getting caught in the rain. No, it's not that. So that's my recommendation. I think it would make a great gift for, probably ladies of all ages.
Literary lovers in your life?
Literary ladies.
Yes.
And lovers.
Literary ladies and lovers.
You have a lover who loves literature.
And ladies.
All right, there's far too much alliteration in this podcast, which might be a cue to move on to Jamie's recommendation, which I think you kind of have this theme every year you pick out books for guys.
Yeah, they're hard to shop for, right? There's so many razors and so many ties you can get a dude. So this is the official John Wayne Handy Book for Men, Essential Skills for the Rugged Individualist by James Ellis.
And before we go any further, it is in our self-help section, right?
Well... sort of, like self-improvement. Yeah, sure. And I mean, as a disclaimer, I didn't read this whole book. I just started walking through the library, which is my mall. And I was like, what would be a good book to give as a gift? And this one popped out because John Wayne's looking sexy on the cover.
Yeah.
And then I opened it and I love it. It has different pieces of advice, things that you should know if you're a man or a lady, like how to chop down a tree with an axe. Step one, examine your workspace. How to make rope out of natural materials.
Oh, wow.
How to raise your body temperature, which is great. It's great for a day like today. It's pretty chilly in Baytown today. Layer up, hunker down, because cold can kill you. And it's every kind of piece of advice gets 2 pages with pretty succinct recommendations for how to do whatever it is. It's something like it would be perfect to put in your bathroom. I like to call this a bathroom book. You can just kind of pick it up and read a chapter at a time. How to ration food and water. How many minimum calories people need. An elderly male only needs 1,475 calories a day.
This works really well after the Hurricane Harvey.
Yeah.
Book.
Wow. This is really how to survive an avalanche. I mean, you never know when you could get.
We won't ever have those in Baytown.
And I think this is a really important chapter for all men. How to cook an egg. And it has like scrambled egg, sunny side up, over easy, poached egg, hard boiled eggs. And I seriously, this is no joke. I remember in college, I called my mom to ask her how to hard boil an egg. And unfortunately, she wasn't home and I got my dad on the phone. Between the two of us, we couldn't quite figure it out. So this book would have come in handy. How to Change Your Oil is another chapter that right after I got divorced, one of the first things I did was go get my oil changed. And the man said, do you want synthetic or regular? And I looked at him and just burst out into tears. And he said, are you okay, ma'am? And I just said, I'm divorced. As if that explained why I didn't know what kind of oil went into my car. So again, this book is handy not just for men, but for women as well. I love this one, How to Cook the Only 3 Meals That You Need. For men, number one, an omelet. So it has instructions for that. This other one, this pasta dish that I can't pronounce, but it's basically garlic and oil pasta. And what's the other thing they have to cook?
It's so easy, but I feel like if a guy put garlic and oil pasta in front of me, I'd be like, wow, you're fancy.
Yeah, no, it's like, oh yeah, and cowboy chili is the third thing that they have to know how to make. Every man needs to know how to make a good pot of chili. I should read this one because in Baytown, there's quite a controversy whether chili has beans in it or not, if that's like real chili.
That's like in Texas.
Yeah, we've gone back and forth. There's also corn is kind of controversial.
Yeah, I'm just skimming this one because I, of course, didn't read it beforehand. Oh yeah, beans. There's beans in cowboy chili.
It says so right here.
And then the next page is how to clean up after cooking, which I think because I would probably bookmark that page in my household. So yeah, this is, it really, I mean, I can't say enough about this for, as a gift. I mean, it's not something you're going to curl up and read on a rainy Saturday, as a gift, it is fantastic.
I think that's going on Mark's Christmas list.
Yeah, no, really, you can't go wrong. And it's, you can't see it in Radioland, but it's quite lovely. It's an attractive book that's kind of like done in the classic brown rustic. And rustic looking. So it looks pretty high class. So I'd get it.
All right. So moving on from there, we also had our guests each pick a book that they thought would make a rather inappropriate gift choice for most readers.
Yeah, we don't want to say it's a bad book. Some of them may be bad books in the reviewer's opinion, but mostly just maybe not for Christmas or a holiday. Maybe just recommend it in general if you want them to read it.
And Lisa has another sports-themed one, so go ahead and throw that gauntlet down.
As a Houston fan, of course, my anti-recommendation book for all you listeners is The Dallas Cowboys, The Outrageous History of the Biggest, Loudest, Most Hated, Best Loved Football Team in America by Joe Nick Potoski. Yes, I would not buy this. I would not read this. I would not gift this.
Exactly. I would not in the train. I would not on the
train. Exactly. So that is my anti-recommendation.
Which makes me laugh so hard. My grandfather was a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan. He couldn't watch them. He would get so nervous. He'd have to get up and walk out of the living room.
My brother's a diehard, too, so I'm hoping he'll hear this.
All right. Carrie, what do you have?
Well, First of all, let me say that I actually love this book and I do recommend it, but I realize that it's not perhaps for everyone. So this book is Exit Stage Left, The Snagglepuss Chronicles by Mark Russell, my favorite author of graphic novels. And it's part of the DC Hanna-Barbera universe, which are very creative reimaginings of all of your most beloved Hanna-Barbera properties, such as Snagglepuss. Another character in this book is Huckleberry Hound. So it's basically about a gay, closeted, anthropomorphic mountain lion, noted playwright, and self-described American cultural icon, Snagglepuss, author of works such as The Heart is a Kennel of Thieves. It's about a family of hard-drinking dogs.
It checks out.
I think you're selling this book, whether you want to be or not.
Well, I do want to sell it. I want to sell everybody on it, but you know, it's a gift for a particular kind of person, and that person is exactly just me. So it's only for me.
She's asking everyone to buy her the book for Christmas.
I already bought it. But also, I guess I'll just keep selling this book. It's very historically accurate, actually. You can learn a lot about, because it's set in the McCarthy era. So it's basically about the Red Scare and the Lavender Scare. So the Red Scare, as everybody knows, is the anti-communist witch hunt of the 50s. Lesser known is the Lavender Scare, which is a part of the Red Scare that specifically targeted LGBTQ individuals in life and society. So it kind of is framed around this main device of this evil State Department woman, Gigi Allen, helping the House on Un-American Activities Committee kind of hunt down gay people and get them to out each other. And so there's an ongoing conflict where she's trying to convince Snagglepuss to reveal all of his to snitch on his allies. Also, Dorothy Parker is a character and has great lines such as, "Kid, when a rider is no longer catch of the day, she's cat food."
All of this in a graphic novel.
All of this in a graphic novel, and so much more, like a historical glossary.
You
defining all of these things. Oh my goodness. It just has so much about the hydrogen bomb, the Stonewall Inn, the kitchen debate between Khrushchev and Vice President Nixon. So
far over my head.
This is just my recommendation, actually. Like, don't get Jane Eyre.
That was a twist we didn't see coming. I think you were selling it better when you were saying, "No, don't get this. This is only for me."
You can't have it.
That's funny.
All right, and then Jamie actually has an anti-recommendation that is on the bestseller list right now.
Yeah, this book's on every list. It's like best book of the year, top 10 this, top 10 that. It's The Woman in the Window by A.J. Finn. It even has those little cover blurbs written by other authors who, by the way, just for your information, are paid by the publishing house to write those blurbs. Astounding.
Ooh. James Patterson.
Inside true. Baseball. Yeah.
This one says, astounding, thrilling, amazing. And it's Gillian Flynn, who's of Gone Girl fame, wrote this. So everyone, ever since Gone Girl came out, everyone's like, oh, if you like Gone Girl, this is like the next best thing. Yeah, it's not. It's just not. And lots of people liked it, but a lot of people read this and also didn't like it. I know it sold very well. The premise is, you know, super appealing. A woman is afraid to go out of her house, spends all day looking out the window and sees a murder across the street and on and on and on. Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's agoraphobic, so she does not like go out at all. People come to her. She calls the police. It's a big investigation. I don't even remember everything that happened. All I remember is another staff member who shall remain nameless loved this book and said, you know, you've got to read it. And I every day would come back and I'm like, I'm not feeling it. And she would just say, stick with it. You haven't got to the good part yet. And I'm on the second to the last page and I think, yeah, I skipped right over the good part. So while it is on everybody's hot list for the holiday season, I would skip it all together. Come to the library and see if we can find you a truly good book to read. Because this one, it just falls short.
Maybe don't give library books for Christmas.
That is super good advice, right? Right. That's you can test drive the book at the library, and then you can, if you want to keep it forever, you can buy a copy.
Well, thank you for joining us today. I hope you got some good ideas for gifts, or maybe some bad ideas for gifts.
And stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.